She is a businesswoman in New York City and has a long history of service and ministry. Her name is Heidi Tompkins. I'm John Bradshaw, and this is our conversation. Heidi Tompkins, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I've looked forward to having a chance to sit down and talk with yes. you about you and about business and about ministry,
Amen.
Which for you are one and the same thing.
Correct.
So today you're a businesswoman and you create these outstanding products based on or made with carob.
Yes.
Okay. We've got to talk about that. That sounds like a sweet thing to talk about. Sorry, had to say that. But first, let's go back. Who's Heidi Tompkins? Where are you from?
Sure. So I grew up in Connecticut. We lived in Vermont for a few years growing up. So Northeast girl. Love the cold. Just grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
Grew up in a Christian home
uh-huh.
and family.
Yeah.
And grew up with godly parents and grew up loving the Lord and just wanting to be successful. And I found my way in business after
yeah.
college, and I've owned a few businesses. And in 2013, God called me to work for Him.
Yeah, how about that? Okay, so you're from Connecticut. Right now you're in New York City. New York City. New York City. I don't want to drill down too far, but I got to ask you, why are you in New York City in business when you could be in Tupelo, Mississippi, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, but you've chosen to be in the Big Apple. Is there a reason
yes.
for that?
Well, my career travels over the years brought me to Long Island, to New York, and I was working for a telecommunications company in sales, and I was very successful there, and ended up going into business for myself after that, and I stayed. I really liked Long Island. My sister went to college there, and she was on Long Island, so it wasn't too far from Connecticut. You know, I could
yeah.
still see family and so forth, and at that time, I was not in the church, but God called me back, and so when I came into the church, I stayed there, and then God called me to be a Bible worker and to work for Him. And so since then, a lot of ministry is done in New York
Fantastic.
City.
Fantastic. Can't wait to talk about what we've got here on the table, your carubies and more. But before we get to that, let's talk about some of this journey. So you mentioned you'd worked in business. How'd that come about and what did you do?
Yeah, when I was in college, I went to college for accounting. I really loved numbers, and I thought, how great would it be to just work really, really hard a few months of the year and then not have to work so hard a few months of the year.
Is that how it turned out?
No.
No, but so, when you're a kid, you think that, right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you think somehow it just magically happens. You do a little and a lot takes place.
Yeah.
That doesn't work that way.
Didn't work out that way.
Yeah. So you stayed in accounting or you moved on?
I didn't. I never really did accounting. I went to college for accounting, but I never did accounting. In college, I was working in retail to work and pay for college, so
yeah.
to speak, and have some extra money. And then stayed in retail, got promoted in retail, and, you know, worked up to a district manager, which, you know, you get the car and you get, you know, supposedly all these perks and,
yeah.
you know, it's really not worth it all.
Well, it sounds like a good gig. You came to the place of, you thought in your heart, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, you know, I just thought there's got to be, you know, something less constraining. At the time, I was living in Buffalo, New York, and my district was from Erie to Buffalo, and that's a 4-hour drive. So
Ooh.
If the store manager didn't show up to close their store, guess who had to go?
Oh, wow, okay.
So yeah. I thought, okay, there's got to be something better than this.
So what was better than this?
So then I thought, you know, I'd be better probably in like a direct sales or an outside sales position.
Okay.
So I happened to meet someone who became friends with someone who was in telecom, and a new company was opening a branch in Melville and Long Island. And he said, you know, sounds like you could sell just about anything. You surely could sell voice and data. So they interviewed me. I got the job. And within 6 months, I was in the top 6 salespeople in the company. I worked for them for 4 years.
Wow.
And my last year as the top salesperson in the company in the Northeast region of about 327 salespeople.
So at the time, you having real success in your profession, where did you see that launching you to? You think, I'm doing great. I'm heading for what?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, telecom was booming, you know, and so, you know, other people who were a little bit more seasoned in the industry were making six figures, and I was making a ton of money, unfortunately spending a ton of money on all the wrong things, and because I was away from the church at that time, and it got to a point where God just literally arrested me in my steps, and I just had to turn to Him.
Well, let's talk about that. How was it that you met? You were raised by godly parents, Christian home, but you kind of got away.
Yeah.
What happened to cause that to happen?
It happened in college. My parents divorced, and you know, and that always has an effect on the kids.
It does.
I'm not putting blame on either one of them, but it does have an effect.
It does.
And so at that point, I just thought, you know, let me just go out on my own, and so I was in retail at the time, and they offered me a store manager's position, and I thought, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And so that set me on a totally different path. And in retail, you don't get to not work on Saturdays.
Right.
And so then I found that I was working on the Sabbath and just making a lot of little compromises that led to a lot of big compromises.
Yep.
And it just takes you farther and farther away.
So what turned you around? You could have just decided that you liked life on the other side of the fence and that this worldly thing was good and you're having success in your chosen field.
Yeah.
What turned you back?
To make the story really short, I think that my boss was an alcoholic because every time someone brought in a big deal, and it was usually me, we had to go to happy hour. And, you know, I mean, I was selling large, you know, large voice and data deals to school districts and large enterprise companies. And, you know, my motto was, you have to get at least one deal a day. You can't come back to the office without a deal. You know, I mean,
So you were driven.
Yeah, very, very driven. Yeah. And so we were at the bar for happy hour every day. And I really got to the point where I felt like I was turning into an alcoholic.
Mm.
And it's not because I was drinking every day. It was just because of my type A personality. When I do something, I just don't do it a little bit. I do it all the way. And so it just, you know, I could never have one drink. It turned into 8 or 10, and I was drinking. I'm allergic to beer, so I was drinking Long Island iced teas, which are, you know, just filled with hard liquor, and it was really destroying me as a person.
But you recognized that?
I did, because I would just get incredibly sick. I would black out, didn't know where I was, didn't know who was taking me home. Fortunately, it was one of my coworkers, you know, usually. And it got really out of hand, and one day I woke up on a Saturday morning. We had gone out Friday night, you know, Friday had closed a big deal, had to go to happy hour, woke up one Saturday morning, miserable, hungover, headache, throwing up, everything, and I just said, oh, God, please help me. And God just like flashed before my vision, years when I was happy. And I thought of being in church with my family.
Oh, how interesting.
And I thought there must be a church nearby. So I was living in Middle Island at the time. I looked up, you know, where there was a church. There was a church in Patchogue that I wanted to go to. And so I had a dog. I had to take her for a walk, get her all situated. And, you know, got up, got all cleaned up and thought, I'm going to church. Looked at the clock and it was like 11:45, I wasn't going to get there till 12:15. I'll go next week, is what I said to myself. The same thing happened the next 3 weeks in a row. And I thought, I'll go next week. And after 4 weeks of that, I said to myself, I know myself. If I don't go today,
I'm never
going to go.
Yeah.
So I don't care if I walk in and they're singing the last line of the closing hymn. I'm going today, and next week I'll get there earlier. Because I just felt like I needed God in my life. And so God is so good. That church happens to have a Spanish service in the morning and the English is in the afternoon.
Oh, how about
that? So when I walked in at 12:15, 12:20, they were just getting started.
You were early.
Yes.
Oh, isn't God good?
Yes.
Hey, this is an interesting thing. You needed God in your life.
Yes.
But your remedy for that was to go back to church.
Yes.
That's not where everybody's mind is.
True.
I need God in my life. I'll look online or maybe I'm going to read a Bible or have a conversation. What was it about church? I'm wondering if there's something about your experience as a younger person.
Perhaps. I mean, I grew up in church.
Yeah.
My mom started me singing in church when I was 4. Like, I was always very involved in church.
You have good memories of church?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely.
I wonder if church had ever been traumatic or something that repelled you.
No.
And then you just never have gone back. So it says something, doesn't it, about how you want to treat your kids and love the kids in church and make church positive.
Amen.
Because even if they manage to get sideways, they just might come back one day. And if there's nothing to come back to, they won't come back to.
Correct.
Yeah. So how did you get your feet wet in church and start to grow? What was that experience like?
Well, so I started going to church. The pastor was very energetic and charismatic. And so I kind of needed that to grip me and you know, for... Like, I just, if the pastor had put me to sleep, I wouldn't have gone back, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it had to be, you know, something that was exciting for me. And you know, not that church should be entertaining, but it had to be something that gripped me. And the pastor there was one who frequently made appeals and, you know, frequently, you know, he knew what it was like to be in the world. And, and you know, he was just making appeals and the Holy Spirit was touching my heart.
Church doesn't have to be entertaining and shouldn't be entertaining.
Correct.
But it's the Bible, Heidi.
Yes, amen.
It shouldn't lull you to sleep.
Exactly.
You should be able to say like Jeremiah, I've got fire in my bones.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So there was something about that grabbed you.
Yes.
So when you were back, were you back or did you...
No, I was like one foot in the church and one foot in the world still.
Yeah.
I joined the church choir and, you know, and I decided I was going to be involved in church. But, you know, because of my job, there was a lot of pressure that you still had to go out and you had to show up and all of that. And so... I tried to escape that as much as possible and not participate in that. And then I just decided, you know what, I was carpooling with a coworker and I thought I'll just be the responsible driver. And so I can't drink, you know. So I just kind of put a stop to that as much as I could.
Were the people around you accepting or?
Not really.
No.
There was a lot of pressure.
There was some
pressure. A lot of pressure.
Interesting.
It all came to a head in 2004. I was the top salesperson in the company that year. And the Christmas party was in New York City on a Friday night. And my boss came to me and said, I'll see you Friday night. And I said, no, actually you won't. I said, I have a choir practice and we have a big program the next day in church. You know that I'm in the choir at my church. And so I'm not going to be at the Christmas party actually. And this was maybe Wednesday during the week. And so he said, no, you will be at the Christmas party. I said, no, I won't. I said, there's no way that I would make it in time. And besides, it's the Sabbath and that's not where I belong on the Sabbath. And he said, if you don't show up at that Christmas party, he said, the president of the company is coming to the New York City Christmas party because of you, because you're the top salesperson in the company.
Oh, well.
And if you don't show up at that Christmas party, you should not bother to show up coming to work the next Monday.
Wait, and he said this to his top salesperson?
Yes.
Wow. So what happened?
Well, God worked things in a very... In interesting way, the very next day, I was coming back to the office from the field. This was a Thursday. I was coming back from the field, and I was driving on the Long Island Expressway, and all of a sudden, the hood of my car flipped back, smashed the windshield. This is in rush hour traffic.
Oh, man.
I don't know how. An angel must have cleared the path for me to be able to pull over.
Yeah.
I called AAA. They were sending a tow truck. I called one of my coworkers that I carpooled with from time to time. He came and picked me up, brought me back to the office. He said, I'll take you home. And I said, you know, can you take me to Enterprise? I got to rent a car. So anyway, he takes me to the rental car place and they give me this 2004 Suburban, huge SUV. It was brand new. And they asked, do you want the insurance? And I said, yes. And he's standing next to me. He says, dude, you're a good driver. You don't need the insurance. Convinced me not to get the insurance. I said, all right. He said, you have your insurance. I said, yeah, I do. No problem. Didn't get the insurance. I drive home, walk my dog.
Yeah, I'm holding my breath here. I'm wondering what's going to happen with
the insurance. Yeah, just wait. I drive to the church, go to choir practice. After choir practice, I drive to a train station in Deer Park, park the vehicle, get on the train, go to Manhattan to this Christmas party. Guess what? The president decided to go to the Boston Christmas party. He didn't come to New York City. all of my coworkers are drunk, plastered, out of their minds.
And you walk in, you see this.
I walk in, and I was so mad the president wasn't there. I ended up having a Long Island iced tea. The bar was kicking us out. It was late at that time. And so we all go back to Penn Station. There was a TGIF there. And we go in there. We had an hour to wait for our train. So we go in. I had one more drink there. And we finally get on our train. All of my coworkers are passed out. I'm the only one awake. They all miss their stops. And, you know, I was the last stop. They get off and they said, oh, man, we missed our stops. You got to take us home. Take us all home. And they say that when you're drinking, the first thing you lose is your sense of reason. And that's absolutely true. And so I said, sure, I'll take you all home. Meanwhile, I lived a half an hour to 40 minutes that way, and they wanted to go 40 minutes the other direction. Anyway, I'm taking these people home, and my coworker that I used to carpool with, I had trained him, you know, and our cubicles were next to each other. He was sitting next to me in the passenger seat. What I didn't know is him and one of our other coworkers were doing drugs at the party, and he told me, I got to go to Luke's house. Take me to Amityville right now. And I said, let me drop these people off, and then I'll drop you off there. We were passing the exit for Route 110, and he said, dude, get off this exit right now. And I said, no, let me take these people home and then I'll take you to Luke's house. He said, no, I want to go now. I was like, chill out, dude. He said, if you don't get off this exit right now, I'm going to flip this truck and kill every single one of you. He's in the passenger seat. I'm driving. He elbows me in the chest, grabs the wheel, flips the truck.
Flips?
Entirely. It went on its side. Now, on the Long Island Expressway, there's ravines that go down on the side. It had to be many angels there, or maybe one is strong enough, I don't know. The truck flips down on its side, it's rolling down the ravine, all of a sudden it comes back up on all four wheels. I was like, get out quick, check the damage. I put the thing in drive and I'm trying to drive away and it wouldn't move. A cop saw the whole thing happen.
And?
They came up, made me get out of the car, gave me a breathalyzer test, sure. Which I failed.
Ooh.
I get arrested. They all get home somehow, I don't know. And I was sitting in the precinct. I was handcuffed and I was chained between a drug dealer and a prostitute. And I was just bawling, crying. Snot coming out of my nose. It was horrible, 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 horrible. And you know what thought came to my mind? My sister's a lawyer. I can call her. I can hide this from my earthly father, but my heavenly father knows exactly where I am and what I'm doing. So I think we're sick of my crying, so they put me in a cell in another area. I still continued to cry all night long. I made my one phone call to my sister. She said, I'll see you in court in the morning. I didn't sleep a wink. I was crying all night long, just spending time with God, apologizing to him, you know, seeking repentance, forgiveness. The morning came, and the judge was being ruthless, handing out ridiculous sentences. My sister knew I had gone back to church. She said, you better start praying. The judge looked me up and down and said something like, you know, you don't belong in my courtroom. She gave me a light sentence compared to the others. And she said, don't ever let me see you here again.
And that was easy for you to agree with.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, what about the car? You had no insurance.
The two people in the back seat saw exactly what happened. They went to the police and made a report against the other coworker, and Enterprise went after him for the value of the vehicle. God saved me.
Yes,
big
he did.
Time.
In more than one way.
Yes.
Oh, incredible story. And so what this is, was it drifting away, a return to God,
yes,
in dramatic circumstances,
yes,
and this was setting you up for what God would do in,
amen,
your life next. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So glad you are here with us. She's Heidi Tompkins and I'm John Bradshaw. More of our conversation in a moment, brought to you by It Is Written. You know that at It Is Written, we are serious about studying the Word of God, and we encourage you to be serious as well. Well, here's what you do if you want to dig deeper into God's Word. Go to itiswritten.study for the It Is Written Bible Study Guides online. 25 in-depth Bible studies that will take you through the major teachings of the Bible. You'll be blessed, and it's something you'll want to tell others about as well. itiswritten.study. Go further, itiswritten.study.
Every Word is a one-minute Bible-based daily devotional presented by Pastor John Bradshaw and designed especially for busy people like you. Look for Every Word on selected networks or watch it online every day on our website, itiswritten.com.
Welcome back to Conversations brought to you by It Is Written. My guest is Heidi Tompkins, who today is a businesswoman in New York City. And not that many yesterdays ago, you were having a time of your life in a jail cell somewhere in the greater New York area.
Yes.
And God got you out of that.
Amen.
So did you make it to the choir recital the next day? Or you didn't make it?
No.
Oh.
No.
Did you miss any more after that?
Never.
Never missed another one. So life, that was the turning
point. That was it. I was like, Lord, I'm all in. I'll give up everything for you. Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, I'll give up this mess.
Sure, absolutely.
I'll give up this mess.
Absolutely.
Isn't it interesting what that guy did in that vehicle could have killed you?
Could have, yes.
It turned out you were unhurt?
Not a scratch on anyone.
See, isn't that amazing?
Not one scratch on anybody. Broken glass everywhere, not a scratch on anybody.
What God allowed you to see was what your life could have become.
Amen. That's right.
And what it might be through Jesus.
Yes.
Well, today you're a businesswoman. Well, I've so much to talk with you about. I want to talk about your tenure as a gospel worker, because you've got some great experiences and a lot to tell. But let's get to that later. Let's talk about this.
Okay, sure.
So just give me the Cribs notes. How did you get from, you know, sales jobs to being in business yourself?
Yeah, well, so after that, that coworker had the cubicle next to me, and so I called HR and they moved him to the other side of the office, but it was still pretty awkward. And, you know, I just felt, you know, I just want to see if I can make a different arrangement here. I offered the company that I would be willing to forego my salary and go straight commission and work from home. And we had a big sales meeting at the beginning of every year. So at the big sales meeting, I set up a meeting with the president and the vice president, and I made them this, what I thought was a fantastic offer. And they said, no, we'll accept 2 weeks resignation and you can pack your bags.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I did. And I had a client. One of my clients was a young entrepreneur, and he had been telling me for a while, you ought to go out on your own. Forget these people. You know, even though you're the top rep and you go on all these President's Club trips, they really, you know, everybody's replaceable. You really ought to just go out on your own. And he was right.
So
they had no problem replacing me letting me go.
That's how it goes, right? So what did you do?
He helped me get started. Yeah. I started my own business as a telecommunications consultant and became an agent for every other company that I used to compete with.
Yeah.
And lived that way. And
it went okay?
It went well. It went well for years until, you know, companies started buying up other companies. And when they did, they got rid of all their agent programs. So, like, my largest agency sent me a letter, and in a matter of 2 weeks, my salary went from, you know, my earnings, I should say, my earnings or income went from $5,000 to zero. Because another company was buying them, and they were not keeping the agent program.
Yeah, that industry changed a lot.
Yeah, that industry changed a lot. So I started working for a wellness company, and I did that for a little while, and just very, very involved in church, still involved in a lot of other things, but mostly involved in church. I was involved in fitness and, you know, and exercise and things like that. And I continued to work that way, and I wanted to give Bible studies to people because, you know, I was in church now, and I was trying to give Bible studies to people, but I didn't know how to do it effectively.
Yeah.
And so I was praying that God would show me, you know, how to share Him effectively. And through a very, very strange set of circumstances, I ended up at an evangelism school called NET. I didn't even know where I was going when I went to that. Someone sent me an address. Someone texted me an address and said, you have to come here right now. Get on the train. Come to New York City and meet me at this address. I had no idea what it was from, but I had met this guy in a church program, and so, you know, he seemed legit. He was actually coming up from Florida. He told me he was coming up from Florida to New York City to be a Bible worker in a program, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know anything about it, and I decided I'm not going to go. I wasn't feeling well. I was, you know, having flu symptoms. My sister was off running a marathon in some other country, Germany, or I don't know. Anyway, I was walking her dog. So I go to walk the dog, and I wasn't feeling good. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go home, juice, lay low. When I'm sick, I don't like being sick, and I'll do anything I can to not be sick.
Right.
So I figured, I'm not going. This was Monday morning. And he texted me, get on the train right now and come to this address in New York City. And I just texted him back, thanks for the invitation, dude. Really appreciate it. I'm a little under the weather. I'm just going to juice, lay low, have a good time. He texted me, no, get on the train right now and come.
Oh.
And I was so conflicted driving home. I actually pulled over in a parking lot and was praying. And it turned into like almost an argument with God because I was feeling so convicted and so impressed I should go, but I didn't want to and I didn't think that I should. And so I decided I'm not going. Driving home into Babylon Village, and the way that I would go home is straight, and that way was blocked off. It was a police barricade, and the only way I could go was to turn left onto Park Avenue, which went right by the train station. The next thing I know, I'm parking my car at the train station, and I'm getting on the Long Island Railroad, and I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just felt so pushed and so impressed that I had to go to this, whatever it was. And so I just prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going. If this is your will, if this is you pushing me, and if you want me to do something here, please take away my pounding headache and help me to feel better. I had a headache on the train all the way there, got to Penn Station, found out which subway I needed to get on, got on the subway. I'm coming up to the sidewalk level from the subway, and I look around, the sun is out, it's beautiful, and I don't have a headache anymore.
Oh, how about that?
So I walk to this location, I walk in, Eric Flickinger is teaching, and he's introducing a speaker who I'd never met before, Don McIntosh, and I listened to Don McIntosh all afternoon, and I just felt God saying to me, you've worked for the world long enough, now it's time to work for me.
Mm.
And at the end of that, I said, I went up to Eric, I said, I don't know what this is, but I love it, and I'm all in, just tell me what I have to do.
Fantastic.
He said, this is Nets, welcome, fill out this application, you know, fill out these forms, and come back for class tomorrow. And it was a four-month program, four-month evangelism school. Every single day, I heard God telling me that it's time to work for me. You've worked for the world long enough. It's time to work for me. So I became a Bible worker. I was trained to be a Bible worker. I became a full-time Bible worker.
Hey, let me interrupt and ask you to define what a Bible worker is, because somebody's going, what in the world's a Bible
sure.
worker?
So I went door-to-door, giving a survey, offering people Bible studies, and showing people the way to Jesus.
That's rewarding, isn't it?
Helping them to make decisions for Christ.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, soon I'm going to ask you about reaching people for Jesus in a place like New York City, which many people would say is beyond the point of no return.
Yes.
You will give us evidence that that is not so.
Yes.
Fast forward to the time you got into business, because this is a fascinating thing, this business.
Yes.
So how in the world, you're not just a businesswoman, you are a manufacturer.
Yes,
you're a
correct.
Manufacturer. In New York City.
Yes.
All right. And you're manufacturing, how would you describe it? I'd rather have it in your words than my words. What are the
Caribbeans?
Sure. The describe
so we manufacture decadent carob products.
There we go.
Decadent carob truffles named Caribbeans.
Yeah.
And we manufacture them in 8 different flavors and 3 different assortments.
Yep.
This is the first product God gave us to support our Bible work. The second product God gave us to support our Bible work is called Carabella. This is like a vegan Nutella.
Mm-hmm.
We've had kids tell us it's better than Nutella.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it's
yep.
really delicious.
Adults sort of tell you the same thing.
And we've come up with a few other savory products over the years,
yeah.
One of which you have tried, our V-Chick 7 jackfruit patties.
Oh, now hold on. I got to tell you something. When Heidi is talking about jackfruit patties, have mercy. These things are insanely good. Now they're kind of Indian flavored. Indian
they are.
Seasoned.
Yes.
Oh my! Now I have this theory. It's based on my study of the original languages the Bible was written in. That in heaven, food preparation will be taken care of by Indians. That's how my
Amen.
Study. I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm actually, I'm certain I'm not wrong. So these are Indian flavored jackfruit patties.
Yes.
Oh man, they're good. And I wouldn't tell you that just because you're sitting here. I wouldn't say anything like it if I didn't think it was true. They're astonishingly good. Okay, so why did you end up making carob treats?
Well, so I have a ministry partner.
Yep.
His name is Ivan Raj. He's from South India.
And we've had him on Conversations.
Yes, yes. Yep. And after I was let go from the conference as a Bible worker, I was Bible working for free for 6 months. And after that, I really didn't know what I was going to do. And I was just praying. And he came to me and said, you know, why don't we start something? He said, you're really too talented to just sit home and do nothing. You know, God has work for us still to do. Let's do something. And I said, okay. I had a small group of about 15 people. And while I was doing Bible work, actually, Ted Wilson gave me a book that's entitled Ministry to the Cities. Mm-hmm. It's a workbook. It's based on a vision called the Beehive, and it's about all these different industries that could happen in city settings to lead people to Christ. And so my small group was reading this book. Ivan joined. He was reading the book. We were fasting and praying. God impressed us to start a health food ministry. And God gave the name. God told us what to do, and you know, Ivan and I were actually fasting and praying for the name, and Ivan texted me and he said, do you know anybody who can make really good carob? And I texted him back and said, yes, me. And he said, I want to try it. So at that point, we had one flavor. I used to just put these on a plate and bring them to people's houses if I was invited for the dinner or the holidays or whatever it was. He tried it and he said, this is amazing. We can totally do something with this, but we need more flavors. I said, okay, I'll pray. So I started praying and I said, Lord, if you want us to do something with this, please give me more flavors. And God has given me this amazing, amazing experience where he communicates with me and I wake up with recipes downloaded in my brain.
Mm.
For the next 5 days, I woke up with a new recipe downloaded in my brain.
Oh, outstanding.
And we made every single one of them. There's no experimenting. God's recipes are always the best. Our last flavor came actually as inspiration from my father. The recipe came from God. My dad is one of those people who loves those chocolate-covered cherries that usually you can only get around the holidays.
Uh-huh.
Somehow he finds a way to get them year-round. I don't know if he gets it from Amazon or Walmart. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He always has a box of these in his desk. Every time we, you know, would make a flavor, we'd bring it to him to try, and he'd say, yeah, doll, that's good. That's good. After five or six of those, he said, you know, if you could replace the box of the chocolate-covered cherries in my desk, then you'll really be in business, he says to me.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll pray about it. He said, call it Black Forest. I prayed about it. God gave me a recipe downloaded in my brain. I woke up with this recipe. I wrote it down. We made it. Brought it to him. He said, fantastic.
Oh,
he said,
really?
I would eat these over those cherries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
High praise. That's a great endorsement.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain carob. Because for some people, carob, all they know is that it's awful.
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's awful.
That's all some people know.
Growing up, my sister and I, my mom would not let us have chocolate. There was no way we were having chocolate. And she gave us carob. And it was low grade, disgusting, disgusting, disgusting.
Because it can be kind of bitter and...
Yeah. And... you know, I found this one way to make carob good, and I just thought, let's just show the world that carob can be much better.
Oh, it can be so good.
You know what I learned?
I mean, listen, these are so good. They're so good.
There is a flower, I believe, there's a flowering bush, I believe it's called the hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the bush flowers pink, light pink, all different shades of pink. Sometimes it flowers different shades of blue.
That's right.
Sometimes it flowers different shades of purple. And do you know what it's dependent on?
Yes, I do. Where I grew up, there's hydrangeas everywhere. In fact, we have a hydrangea bush. Where's my wife? Could I ask her? What's it dependent on?
It's dependent on the pH of the soil
and the soil quality.
Yeah,
I knew that. 100%. Yeah.
Carob is the same way.
Oh?
There are low grades of carob, and there are very high grades of carob, and most of the world has only had the lowest grades of carob because they're the cheapest.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Ah.
We use a very, very high-quality carob, and we exhibit at shows like in the Northeast. There's a show called the Chocolate Expo.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the Chocolate Expo, and many people, if we don't tell them it's not chocolate, they don't know
the difference. They don't even know. Yeah. Hey, so what's the advantage carob has over chocolate? Why would you recommend this and not that?
It's really easy. It's mainly for health purposes.
Oh, yeah?
Chocolate has two ingredients that are not found, or two elements that are not found in carob, and those are called caffeine and caffeine's kissing cousin, theobromine. That's what gives people a headache and heartburn, and they never want to think that it's their beloved chocolate that
could
be causing that.
It's got to be something else.
But many, many people, when they switch from chocolate to carob, no more headaches, no more heartburn.
So it's good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly way, way, way better.
Not only from that perspective, but chocolate can also be irritating to the digestive system, which usually invokes the heartburn. Carob is very soothing for the digestive system, soothing for your intestines and your intestinal tract. It has many, many health benefits. And what people don't know is that carob has just as many antioxidants as chocolate does. And that's what they tout dark chocolate for, is all of its antioxidants.
That's right. That's right. You've noticed how in the last few years, it's not chocolate just, it's dark chocolate.
Yes.
Like somehow.
It's just so much better for you.
It absolves chocolate of all of its sins.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, that's the challenge many people have, is that chocolate, you know, lots of people just love it.
Yeah.
So it becomes part of a person's culture.
Yes.
You celebrate with it, you give it as gifts.
Yep.
You can do all the same things with that right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And
fantastic.
Our packages is art packaging is designed for people to give gifts.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty cool packaging. I see that there. Did you design it?
We did not. We hired a company to do that.
Very cool job.
Yeah. One of our customers came to us. This is like, you know, those golden questions that you don't get very many of them in your lifetime, but I'll share with you this golden question. One of our customers came to us. They knew what we were doing. They knew that every purchase from our business supports our Bible work. They knew that we only started this business so that we could be Bible workers and get paid and, you know, earn some income. They came to us and they said, "We've been praying. What can we do to help you to increase your business without taking you away from your Bible work?"
Oh, fantastic.
Can you think of a better question?
That's a great question.
We told them that we have great products. We would love to upgrade our packaging so that we could get it into stores, so that we could continue to manufacture and we could get it out in more areas and continue to do our Bible work.
Oh, fantastic.
And they invested in us and they gave us $10,000 for our packaging.
Oh, awesome. So let's drill down to that point you made. So to begin with, the reason for the carob business was to support Bible work.
From the very beginning and still today.
And that's what I'll ask you about. So today, you're in business for the purpose of enabling ministry.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. Every single purchase that people purchase on our website, HeidiSelfKitchen.com, goes to support our Bible work.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I did not ask you about this.
Yes, this is our newest product. It's called Karubi Latte.
Oh, yeah.
Our truffles are called Karubis. This is Karubi Latte. This is a powder beverage where you could make a hot chocolate, instead of a hot chocolate, a hot carob, but it's excellent iced as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why we chose to call it Karubi Latte, because you can have it hot or cold. It's excellent both ways. This product you must try.
I'll put it to the test. That's good.
Praise God.
That's really good. Now, listen, we're filming a TV program here. It's not like I could easily say that's bad, but I cannot lie. This is, would you mind just talk for a moment?
Sure. Okay, so
I'm busy. You carry on.
Yes, this product has, we have amazing reviews on Amazon for this product and on our website. God gave the recipe, downloaded it in my brain like all the others. During the pandemic, you know, I had gotten the flu a couple of times, and, you know, the first time I had it for a longer time than most.
Hey, Heidi, sorry to interrupt you. This is really good.
Praise God.
No, this is really, really good.
So, you know,
but carry on.
The exposure to all those, the virus and the spike proteins and all of that, my brain got very, very foggy. I had intense brain fog. My partner would say, "Hey, remember this?" And I would be like, "No, I don't remember, actually." And one day we ran out of a supply that we've been using for 8 years, and I could not remember who we ordered it from. I got on my knees and I prayed and I asked God, "Please, please show me or remind me where I'm supposed to go to order this supply." And God reminded me to check my email. So I checked my email. I figured out who we ordered it from, and I ordered the supply. And I realized, wow, my brain has gotten so foggy, so bad. My memory has declined because of all of this sickness. And so I prayed, because I believe God has a remedy for everything. And if we seek his ways, he will heal us. Mm. And so for 3 days I prayed, and I asked God what to use to sharpen my mind again. For 3 days, God kept telling me Shilajit.
Yes.
And
I've read about that.
I said, okay, Lord, I knew what Shilajit was. Years ago, I had taken it in a mixed supplement with other things and didn't really make a difference. So, you know, I left it off. But when I had first learned of Shilajit, I learned that there were alternative healthcare practitioners that were using Shilajit for people who had high impact injuries or, impact brain damage or anything like that, anything to do with the brain. Shilajit is excellent for the brain. And it has over 95 different minerals that our brains and our bodies need on a daily basis. It's very high in humic and fulvic acid, which are both known for reducing inflammation. And so I thought, okay, I want to get the best. We got some raw Shilajit. It comes from India, you know. Mm. Shilajit is a mineral substance that comes from volcanoes in India. It's extremely mineral dense and mineral rich and high in sulfurs. It's like tar. It's disgusting. I ordered this raw Shilajit, and it is not palatable. So I prayed and I said, Lord, if you want me to do something with this, please give me a recipe. And I woke up with this recipe downloaded in my brain.
One problem with Kurubi Latte. It's gone. That's the problem. You know what I know you've been saying? You've been telling us about the health benefits of it. Hey, I care about that. Like, I really do care about that. We're pretty health conscious. But man, you got me at the taste.
All right.
It's awesome. Hey, we're going to talk more in a moment. This is worth it. I got to see if I can get another one of these. That was seriously good. With Heidi Tompkins, I'm John Bradshaw. Glad you are here for this. This is our conversation brought to you by It Is Written. How was she able to become a modern-day trailblazer? She was the wrong gender, the wrong color, the wrong socioeconomic status, and from the wrong part of town. But none of that could stop a young girl with a love for science from going on to break through one glass ceiling after another. Patricia Barth had a not-so-secret secret, a secret people today need to discover. Don't miss More Than Meets the Eye, the remarkable Patricia Barth, and learn how the special defining quality she possessed was shared by Jesus and will be shared by all who will walk one day beside the river of life. A scientist, an ophthalmologist, a researcher, an inventor, and more, the life of Patricia Barth was characterized by one first after another. More Than Meets the Eye, the remarkable Patricia Barth, brought to you by It Is Written TV. Welcome back to Conversations, brought to you by It Is Written. My guest is Heidi Tompkins. She is the businesswoman and gospel minister who is the brains behind Heidi's Health Kitchen. You go to heidishealthkitchen.com, you'll find lots of really good things, including, well, you won't find, well, that's empty now, including the Kurubi Latte. What kind of feedback have you been getting in business/ministry? Because this is both. What are you hearing from people?
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of loyal customers.
Yeah.
They love our products. We're grateful for that. With this particular product, Kurubi Latte, not only did I receive the benefits because my brain is much sharper as a result of drinking this every day, many, many other people are seeing the benefits. I mean, from people who have chronic inflammation, chronic headaches. It's autoimmune protocol approved, excellent for the gut and the intestines, excellent for the brain. We have a very, very well-known evangelist's wife. I never knew that she had chronic headaches. Her husband's an MD and an evangelist. They've never been able to solve her headache problem. He was a speaker at one of our events. We had an event called Yoga and the Bible, teaching the Hindu origins of yoga. relating back to Genesis 3. And he was one of our speakers with several others. I just wanted to give them a drink of something when they arrived, so I made about a gallon of Karubi latte and just started serving it to our speakers and their guests. And we had a break where we served dinner, because we're a caterer as well, Heidi's
right.
Health Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
We cater all different types of events, and we also always cater our events. And during the break, she went to my mom and said, "I don't know what your daughter gave me, but she said I had a horrible headache all day, and 10 minutes after drinking that, my headache was gone." And her and her husband, we have this product on Subscribe and Save on our website, and they are subscribers. They both drink it, and whenever she drinks it, she doesn't have headaches. There's so many stories we could tell you about this product, but overall the result has been people love our products. We really love our customers. We appreciate the support. Many of them know that this is supporting actually a ministry. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't, and we appreciate them just as much. But we continue to provide these products because we care about people's physical health
yeah.
as well as their spiritual health.
Yeah.
And I know, and I've seen live by example, and I've seen that when people become healthier physically, they're able to become healthier spiritually.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's why we care about good health. Because
the mind is more receptive to the Holy Spirit and hearing God's voice.
That's why John wrote, "I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even
that's
as your soul
right.
prospers." We believe that. And
amen.
The purpose for healthy folks is not just healthy sinners are going to be healthy in
correct.
In hell. But,
that's right. We want them to find Christ and make decisions for Jesus.
Find Jesus. So the products you manufacture, they're good for you.
Yes.
They don't have the downside of the negative aspects of chocolate.
Correct.
They just taste fantastic.
Yes.
They're taste approved. No one tries them and says they're no good. So you can give them with confidence when it's
yes,
time to give a gift.
Absolutely.
It's new and unique. It looks fantastic. They can be given with confidence. And you can enjoy them yourself.
Yes.
And know that they're just really, really good.
Absolutely.
Let's come back to this ministry thing, because Heidi's Health Kitchen is about ministry. The
yes.
reason it exists
correct.
Is for ministry's sake. So we wish you every success with that.
Thank you.
You are a Bible worker.
Yes.
A gospel worker.
Yes.
I mentioned before gospel minister,
yes.
gospel minister, gospel worker.
Still am. I still have Bible students.
Fantastic. In New York City is where you were, where I want to zero in. You got your training
yes.
in New York City. You started to work in New York City.
Yes.
Now, there are going to be people who will say, nobody in New York City wants to know anything about the Bible.
Not true.
You sure?
Even more after the pandemic, not true, but not true.
Well, that's an interesting
not
statement.
Not ever true.
So what did you find as you were canvassing New York City and approaching people on some level to talk about Christ? What did you find?
I found that people everywhere around us, millions and millions of people are searching for peace, and they find it when they study God's word. They often don't know what they're searching for,
right?
And so they try all different avenues and methods of obtaining that peace. But the majority of the people that I surveyed as a Bible worker felt that they were missing something in their life and didn't know what it was.
You got a place like New York City, people are really, really busy.
Yes.
They're maxed out.
Yep.
Rent is extremely high.
Yep.
Transport's extremely high.
Yep.
Not everybody's living the same lifestyle, of course.
Yep.
Life rolls differently for different people. But there's a lot going on in New York City. A lot of really successful people.
Mm-hmm.
And what you and I both know, like, you were really successful in your
yes.
in your work, kind of living the high life. You
yep.
realized it was the low life.
Yeah.
We've both spoken to lots of people who were successful, and they said, at the height of my success, I was never more lonely.
Yes.
And I felt like I had absolutely nothing.
Correct.
So we mustn't assume somebody's living it up and actually enjoying that. There can be a
we
deep longing there, can't there?
Absolutely. I've seen that over and over and over again. And God knows who those people are.
Yeah.
I can tell you that there are buildings that I, without the help of probably angels opening the doors for me, I would never get in.
Yeah.
You know, high security, you know, doorman and all of this. But God opened many, many doors, and I've had such amazing experiences going door to door in New York City.
Share one of those experiences with me. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot and asking
sure.
you to reach back and find a story or
I'll
an
tell
encounter.
You, I have a favorite one that I could easily tell you.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
I had trained several church members to do Bible work,
yeah.
and one Sabbath afternoon, I decided I'm going to go out with these two girls and go out with them and we're going to go visit a few contacts. So we went, the first building we went to, it was a woman in 4H, and it was a five-story walk-up, and guess what? There was no H. There were no H apartments.
Oh.
The apartment stopped at G, so there was no 4H. And the girl, when we figured that out, the girls were like, oh, let's go somewhere else. We've got more cards. I said, no. We're already in the building. We're not leaving. We're going to hit every door, every floor until we find this person or someone that knows this person. We're not leaving. You don't leave. So anyway, we knocked on every door, every floor. We got to the last two, well, the last three sets of doors. The doors were, there was one on an angle, one in the middle, and another one on an angle. So they knock on the one on the right. A woman comes to the door, and, you know, we're looking for, you know, this woman who expressed interest in the Revelation of Hope. And that was the name of the series. And, you know, do you know this person? Is this you, or do you know this person? And when they said no, then we would just go right into our survey and offer them Bible studies if they answered appropriately or left them with a piece of material. And while they were giving that survey, I decided to knock on the door straight ahead, just to maximize time. So I knock on the door, and a lady comes to the door, and I start talking to her. And just minutes after she opened her door, the door on the other side opens. And this man is standing there listening to all of this. And when I finished, he said, I'd like to know more about what you're talking about. And I said, well, we're looking for this person. You know, she attended our Revelation of Hope and is interested in more information. And he said, I don't know anybody by that name. My brother's the super, and we know everybody in this building. There's no one by that name in this building. But I want to know more about what you're talking about. Come in. He invites us in. We go through, like, the survey questions, and he answers positively to everything. And he says, I think God sent you here just for me.
Oh, really?
He said, and one of you has a very heavy hand. I said, really? He said, it sounded like you were banging my door down. And I said, we never even knocked on your door.
Oh, really?
Must have been an angel.
Oh, cool.
So we start going through things with him, and he said, I have to tell you, my daughter, at the time, she was six or seven years old. He said, my daughter came home from school this week, and she asked me if we had a Bible in the house. And I said, yes. He said, it was in a shoe box on the top shelf in the front closet. He said, so I pulled it down, I dusted it off, and she said, I want us as a family to start reading the Bible. We need to know God. And
I want us
to read the Bible together. I want you to read me stories from the Bible, she said. So he started reading her the Bible, and, you know, just, I don't know where he started, but just, they were having a little bit of difficulty understanding it, and it wasn't quite what maybe his daughter thought she was going to get. But so he prayed. He said, I prayed from Wednesday. I've been praying. This was Sabbath afternoon. He said, from Wednesday, I've been praying that God would send someone to us to teach us how to understand the Bible.
Oh, how about that? And God sent you.
Yes.
Isn't it a cool feeling to know that heaven reached all the way down,
Amen.
Touched your life, and said, I've got a special work for
Amen.
You to do today. And God had been working over here in,
yes.
in this family to prepare them.
Yes.
Wow, that's special. So you'll hear people say, man, the Bible's not the way to reach people. You want to do a car wash or give out bottles of water or something like that. Not that there's anything wrong with doing those things. But there are still people, aren't there, ready to meet the
yes.
God of the Bible.
And that are praying.
Yes.
Just like Enrique was, praying
yes.
that God will send someone their way, or that God will do something in their lives.
Yeah, it's not naive. It's, I can think of other words, I suppose, to think that God isn't working in the hearts and lives of people to prepare them to meet somebody who has an open Bible. Of course he is.
Of course he's working
to do those
yes.
things. Yeah, fantastic. And so today, let's go, I don't know if we've got time to go through the entire product catalog, but I don't want to leave anything out because I touched on something that's not represented here. So the Kurubi Latte,
yeah.
which is awesome. Carabella.
Mm-mm.
It's like Nutella, but better.
Yep. Caroubis, which are Carib truffles.
Yeah. And what else you got?
In addition to that, we have our savory products. We have two different veggie meats. We have the V-Chick 7.
The one that I see is so good.
Which is a chickpea, jackfruit, curry leaf patty. It's amazing.
Astonishingly
good.
It's
my favorite as well.
Yeah, it's so good, yeah.
We also make tandoori V-Chick drumsticks, which are like a vegan chicken drumstick type of thing is, you know, marinated and cooked with Indian spices.
Uh-huh.
And that's a favorite for many.
Yeah.
We also make, you know, we're a caterer. So we make a lot of other foods seasonally, soups and sides that we sell and ship frozen on our website.
Okay.
We also have a coffee replacement, a true coffee replacement that's called Figspresso. It's made from roasted figs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really great for those who used to drink black coffee.
Yeah.
And that gives you natural energy from the figs instead of the highs and lows of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
We have many, many other products. And one of our newest desserts actually came from our, we hold conferences as well.
Yeah.
Evangelism type conferences. They're very out of the box, but they're very effective in the people who attend them.
Yeah.
Many Catholics and people from other faiths come to our conferences. And at our last conference, it's called The Battle for Your Frontal Lobe, Fear Not, Fear God, was our last conference. And so I came up with a new dessert. It's called Caroubi Latte Millionaire Shortbread. And it is off the hook phenomenal. It's really good. I'm sorry that I didn't bring one for you, but you'll have to try that as well.
I'm sorry too. Like,
it's
I'm really sorry.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Hey, so you're involved in hand-to-hand evangelistic outreach in New York City, the greater New York City area. Yeah. Hey, God bless you in doing that. A lot of people wouldn't go near New York City or wouldn't want to get out onto the streets of New York City or host events. You guys are doing all of that, and you're seeing God work.
Amen, yes.
Yeah, that is outstanding. So what's on the horizon for you?
Well, we are moving forward with our conferences. Of course, we're going to continue to manufacture these products and looking to expand Caroubi Latte and make that more available for people other than just our website. But we're moving forward with our conference series. We actually just started a nonprofit organization. For many years, people have been telling us, you know, you're Bible workers, you're doing all this educational stuff, you really should be a 501c3. We really didn't want to at that time. And it's been a blessing because we've learned to depend upon God instead of on donors or anyone else or family or anyone. We've really had amazing experiences learning to depend on God. But God impressed actually my partner to start the Wisdom Pearl. And so that actually today is a nonprofit.
Mm.
So, you know, we're people can visit our site at thewisdompearl.org and we are moving forward with this conference series. I wish we had more time to tell you some of the testimonies from our last conference.
Next time. You know, I've been wanting to talk to you here for some time. I've been wanting to have you on Conversation since forever. Not just to talk about this because they're great products. This is a wonderful ministry.
Yes.
And you are finding a way to bring business and ministry together and finding a way to reach people with the with the gospel of good health and the gospel of Jesus. And I'm glad to know God is sustaining you, not just sustaining, but blessing you.
Amen.
And I wish you just every success, Heidi.
Thank you very much
for taking your time. It's been a joy to see you. It always is, and I'm grateful. Thanks so much.
Always good to see you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you. What a blessing to see you. You know what to do. Go to HeidiSHealthKitchen.com, and you'll find some things that will bless you and bless your world. This has been a great deal of fun. She is Heidi Tompkins. I am John Bradshaw. And this has been our conversation.